Tiff, do y'all have a neighborhood watch?
No, we don't. I mean, okay, there. I live in a party town. Like, it's a summer party town. So every night in the summer, it is kind of like, what are the crazy kids doing out on the dunes? Or that kind of vibe around here. So I feel like everyone kind of is on neighborhood watch a bit. And then they have a really wonderful crime blotter that comes out in the summer paper. So, but most of the year, well, it's, you know, off season, there's nobody here. So yeah. Do you have a neighborhood watch?
I don't, but I had a funny thing happen to me just yesterday. I've been helping a friend of mine move, and they're moving to a new neighborhood, and we were like unloading some stuff. And
oh wait, you have the truck, right? That's why.
Yeah, I drive a pickup truck. It's a,
so everyone wants you to help them move.
Hey, can you move this or that? Yeah, you know,
it's fine. Like Daryl, you know, yeah, people just want you for your truck.
That's right. I got to move Holly back to Nashua, and this lady comes up. He's like, oh, she introduces herself, you know, to my friend who's bought the house. I'm just kind of standing there like a dope. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm the captain of the neighborhood watch, and like goes to explain what they do, which, of course, like everyone knows what neighborhood watch is. But I started counting. She mentioned that she was captain of the neighborhood watch 5 times in like a 12 minute conversation. Strong Dwight vibes from this woman.
That is perfect timing for this episode. That's so funny. Wow, captain of the neighborhood watch.
I know. She was very proud of it. And I thought about her the second I turned on this episode. So what are we talking about today?
We are talking about the episode Ultimatum, the 13th episode of the 7th season, originally airing on January 20th, 2011. So happy new year. We're in 2011.
Happy new year.
This episode actually takes place, well, besides the cold open, which relates to our neighborhood watch story, the actual episode is supposed to have taken place on January 3rd, so like kind of right after the new year. But yeah, we open with this neighborhood watch meeting that Jim accidentally walks in on, and it's Dwight and this group of guys, and they are called Knights of the Night.
Minutes from previous meeting of Knights of the Night. It's our official name, Jim.
Sounds good.
It's such a good name.
I love that on the back of all their shirts, though, it says, we are unarmed. Like, just because they're kind of dressed like cat burglars a little bit with like red hats.
I also feel like Dwight's probably armed. Not with a gun necessarily, but like a machete or something strapped to his leg.
Or throwing stars.
Throwing stars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Jim just, he left his phone in the office. He wanders in, and Dwight is playing defense immediately with Jim. He's like, hey, don't make fun of this. You're not supposed to be here. And Jim's pretty calm about it. I mean, he sort of like laughs towards the camera for a second, but he doesn't come in like guns a-blazing against Dwight in this.
I'm actually just looking for my BlackBerry, so carry on.
No. I see how this movie ends. You make fun of me, everyone laughs, ha ha ha, screw you.
Yeah, he just kind of passively watches what's happening, and Dwight is like so ready for Jim to be tearing him apart about this whole thing and making fun of things that he kind of cuts him off of the pass and ends up making fun of it himself.
Yeah.
So, but it ends up that they were out and they're holding their meeting and they're going over some of the minutes from the last meeting that they had. And it's finally revealed that they were all out playing flashlight tag. Mm-hmm. And Dwight is expecting Jim to totally make fun of this. And Jim's like, no, that sounds pretty fun.
Knights stayed outside to play flashlight tag.
Oh, come on. That sounds awesome.
It was pretty cool.
It was fun.
It was pretty awesome.
I love how Jim just kind of walks away really satisfied that he walked in on this.
Mm-hmm. Just that he knows is like enough.
Yep, exactly. It's like, yeah. I'll just put this in my back pocket for later.
That's right. At one point, Dwight says, we are not like the guardian angels. So I looked this group up. And they're basically exactly Dwight's group. Like, they're even dressed the same in black and red hats. And it's this group that started in New York City, like, decades ago, mostly to help, like, safety patrol the subways, because apparently a lot of crime happened on the subway in New York City decades ago. Probably still
does.
Oh, really?
Crazy. No.
Such a weird place to be mugged. And now this group has chapters all over the world. And clearly, the leader, which actually isn't Dwight. Dwight is like the assistant. He's like the second in command, which I also found really funny.
He seems to be the secretary since he's reading the minutes, right?
Yeah, but he has there like a some sort of badge or like some sort of decoration, you know,
ooh,
military
deputy.
Decoration on his shirt. He's assistant to the head knight is what he is. Assistant to the regional knight of the night. Yeah, this is what Dwight does on the weekends, and we see a little clip of them being mocked by teenagers as they sort of try to break up a group.
One of our many recent good deeds, we set out to capture the Scranton Strangler. Mission accomplished. Not by us.
Yep, not surprised. Nate is also involved in this group, which I think is cute, that Nate has kind of become friends with Dwight, and we're seeing him more and more.
Dwight may be Nate's only friend.
Oh, ouch. Poor Dwight. Oh, I mean, I think Nate has a rich friend life outside of the office. That's why we don't see it.
Nope. Okay.
He probably has a really like great D&D group going down.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah, yeah.
what a bunch of weirdos.
I know. Who does that? Who plays D&D
on a podcast? That'd be weird.
I don't know anybody who does that.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
The cold open's actually the only time we see Jim in this episode, too. Apparently, he was off filming a movie in our world. But in the world of Dunder Mifflin, Jim is just gone. There's a deleted scene that explains that he's out on a sales call, but that's a deleted scene, so it's not in like the what we consider on our show to be the sort of official version of the show. And so Jim is just gone. So I guess it's a new year and his cap reset. So now he's out selling again.
Yeah, I honestly didn't even notice that Jim was gone because this is such a like focused episode on you're so involved in the idea of like now we're going to finally figure out what's the results of Holly's ultimatum.
Yeah. So that's where Jim is. But we know the date because this is coming right on the heels of the Christmas party. We know that Holly has made an ultimatum to AJ that it's time to move forward in this. It's time to be engaged or it's time to move on. And this is the first day back after the new year. And so we kind of see everybody like seeing how, you know, how their break was and how everybody's doing. And Michael in particular, it seems like he's gotten there pretty early. So he's made Aaron get in pretty early. Because he is preparing for either the best day of his life or possibly the worst day.
Yeah, he's starting off with Aaron helping him film some videos where, because as Michael explains, the best person to talk him down is usually himself.
Today will either be the best or the worst day of my life. Holly gave AJ an ultimatum. He either proposes by New Year's or they break up. Now, if she's engaged, I'm going to go crazy and I'm going to start attacking people. If she's not engaged, in all honesty, I may just burn this whole place to the ground out of happiness. Either way, I am going to need some talking down, and nobody talks me down like myself in a video talking me down.
Yeah, he's preparing with Aaron, and I love their preparations. I love their video together that they're trying to make, and especially the happy sad boxes. These are the greatest. These are so good. And actually, I have a little something to show you, Stephen.
Okay.
I've made happy sad boxes for a friend.
What?
When he was expecting some news about a job, I totally made the happy sad boxes, and I'm going to share a picture with you, and hopefully we can find a way to put this in our show notes. So let me get this up for you.
Wow. These are great.
Yeah, so I made sure that I watched this episode multiple times to prepare these boxes. It was so much fun finding everything.
Okay, champagne.
Happy.
Sponge.
Sad, to soak up my tears.
Gummy bears and gummy worms.
Bears sad, worms happy. Come on, Aaron.
Ukuleles. Happy.
Sad, something to break.
Chocolates.
For you, job well done.
Thank you. Two bottles of scotch.
Both sad.
One of my favorite takeaways is bear sad, worms happy. That will live in my heart forever.
So how did it go for your friend? Did they have opened the happy box or sad box?
Oh my God, I can't remember.
You got us distracted by the craft making. And
I can't remember. I think it might have been sad.
Oh no!
I know he changed jobs quite like afterwards. So maybe it was Happy. And then maybe I remember he kept both boxes because, I mean, who can turn away two bottles of scotch? But
well, hey. I mean, Michael Scott throws them away.
I know he does. I was like, he keeps the sponge, but he throws away the scotch. But yeah, aren't they super cute? It was so much fun.
That's really awesome. That's very good.
So, yeah, so Michael is constructing these happy, sad boxes in preparation and waiting to find out what the news is. And Holly comes in and she's wearing gloves and everyone in the office knows about the ultimatum. And they're all kind of like following her around, waiting for her to take her gloves off to see if she's wearing a ring.
What happened? Is there a ring?
So, high five me. We're back. To a happy... Look at those kittens. Those are presents?
Come on.
Those are so fuzzy and warm. Let me feel those. Let me feel that. Put it there. Give me a good firm one.
Oh, that's a good firm handshake. You're hired.
It's really great. Michael like shakes her hand, is like feeling around her fingers, like trying to see what's going on. Kelly barges in, is like, dang it. Like she really wants to know first thing. Like I have the feeling that Kelly got up early and was at the office early so she could know first.
Well, I mean, like, it's the most, like, interesting hot goss that's going around the office. So, of course, everyone's into it. But when it is actually revealed that Holly does not have a ring on and she holds up her fingers, Kevin mistakes her fingers for being middle fingers. And he curses at her.
Hey. Right back at you, bitch.
It's one of my favorite Kevin moments of the whole series. It's so good.
It kind of does, like, because it's a weird finger to hold up. No one ever holds up their ring fingers like that.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, this is taken by everybody that AJ didn't propose. And so Michael runs back to his office. They break out the happy box. They break out the happy video, which is Michael trying to talk himself down and then just egging himself on.
Happy, 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 happy.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, calm down. Freeze.
I'm trying.
I said freeze.
I'm trying.
Wait a second. Are you listening to music? What?
Shut that off.
I'm not listening to music. Fine. Just go crazy for a little while.
And we get a very famous office gif where he is spraying Aaron with champagne as Aaron jumps up and down.
Nice! We're gonna calm down later.
I'm doing it.
Which is kind of funny because Aaron earlier told us that, hey, you know, she doesn't like Holly. She doesn't get it. It could be that Michael's avoiding the biggest mistake of his life if she's engaged, but I guess she's excited because he's excited.
Yeah, I was almost going to say, I kind of like the support that Aaron is able to give here. That, like, she doesn't let any of her own feelings of, like, confusion or, I don't even want to say bitterness because she's not, like, jealous or anything, but her own indifference about Holly, she is just happy for Michael and she celebrates with him. And I think that in the long run, after seeing kind of Michael with other receptionist secretaries that he's had, that Aaron's kind of like a great fit to be his, assistant in these schemes and these setups and these things. Like, she's very into it. She helps him get all the different things that are plugged in under his desk, and she has no problem with that. She helps him set up the boxes and just kind of takes his instructions. And I really like how supportive she is of him. They're a fun pair.
They are a fun pair. I feel like she does stuff that Pam would never do. In terms of goofiness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that that's why she's such a great addition. And she kind of falls in with the cast pretty well because she fills that role for Michael and like Michael's goofiness. And she just kind of like lets it ride because she's kind of equally as goofy.
Yeah. So let's leave Michael and Holly for a minute and talk about what Pam's up to.
Okay.
Pam recently met Sue, the office manager at Vance Refrigeration, and is very impressed with Sue.
I recently met Sue, the office administrator at Vance Refrigeration. She has this awesome wall full of fun initiatives and morale boosters and stuff. Sue just goes for it. She's awesome.
Phyllis, by the way, not so impressed.
I know, Sue. She's not that great.
But Pam has decided it's time for New Year's resolutions, and so she has made this giant poster board. It's very glittery, like just blindingly glittery.
The glitter is blinding. I think it's good.
Everyone can write down the resolutions. She'll attach them to the board, and it's a fun way to keep everybody accountable for their resolutions for the year. And Pam just has great hopes for this.
Yeah, she is kind of taking her crafty art skills and integrating them in her new position as office manager and trying to like do something fun for the office and to motivate some people in a little bit of an extra way that she hasn't seen really possible before because there wasn't anybody to kind of like lead the charge in these things. And so she's collecting resolutions from everybody. It doesn't go as smoothly as she hopes. I mean, right away, she's met with opposition from Dwight that he thinks resolutions are stupid.
Hey, Dwight, I'm collecting resolution cards.
Not doing that.
Why not?
I've achieved plenty, and there's no better than the best.
There isn't the unanimous approval or excitement that I think Pam was expecting.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I think she has a little bit of a unrealistic view of how people will respond to this, but people do respond the way that we would expect them to at this point. And I thought maybe we could read through the resolutions.
Oh, yes, absolutely, Chancellor. I mean, it's a giant whiteboard, even though it's not a whiteboard. This is your realm of expertise.
Yes, it's a glitter board. So, Chancellor of Glitter today.
Oh, no one wants that.
No.
Glitter's the worst.
I think I've told the story before, but in like elementary school, I was doing like some sort of, you know, poster board project of the solar system, and I sneezed into an open thing of glitter. And I still think about it every time I see anything with glitter on it. Okay.
You probably still have glitter from experience, no, like stuck somewhere on your body.
It's in my brain. It went through my eyes into my brain. And okay, so Dwight initially says he doesn't need one, but then he changes his mind a little bit later. So initially we get Andy wants to learn how to cook for one. He keeps cooking for two and is tired of wasting food. He's very sad about this. His voice cracks as he's explaining it.
I love cooking, but I always find myself throwing out half the food I prepare. So figured it's time to just start preparing the right amount of food for the right number of people, which is one.
Angela wants to make time for romance with the senator, which of course leads to a state senator joke by Oscar.
Who's the senator?
My boyfriend.
Oh, you mean the state senator? I'm sorry, I was confused because you accidentally wrote the senator.
Dwight responds to this by saying he wants to meet a loose woman, which then Andy agrees with.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
You know what? That's my new one. I'm taking that one too.
Awesome.
We get a little aside here that Daryl recommends going to a bookstore to meet women. But as we find out, no one else knows. Daryl's secret resolution is to read more, which is why he wants to go to a bookstore. And then there are a bunch of others that we see, but we don't necessarily get explained. So Jim's is to ride his bike more. Meredith wants to cut smoking back to just 2 cigarettes a day. Pam wants to drink less caffeine. Kevin wants to eat more vegetables, but we learn later that he has eaten 0 vegetables in the previous year. Phyllis wants to take yoga lessons with Bob. Creed wants to do a perfect cartwheel, which, yes, we will come back to that because it's amazing.
Creed, I noticed you don't have a resolution on the board. What's yours?
I want to do a cartwheel, but real casual-like, not make a big deal out of it. But I know everybody saw it. There's one stunning, gorgeous cartwheel.
How's it going?
I'm having a little trouble motivating.
This is a pretty heavy Creed episode for it not being anything about Creed.
Yeah, it is. In fact, the whole tag at the end of the episode is all Creed, which is fantastic. Aaron wants to learn a new word every day. Gabe wants to be less squeamish around dogs and babies. Holly wants to cross train. Kelly's is to gain more attention by any means necessary. Go, Kelly.
She's already pretty good at that.
She is. Michael wants to floss, but later he adds, never make Holly cry again. Oscar's going to finish the living room, so I guess he's been doing some renovations at home. Ryan wants to live life like it's an art project, later becoming a fart project.
But that's not, he didn't change it to fart project. No. As we see, Kevin vandalizes the board and right. changes it to fart project.
Stanley wants to be a better husband and boyfriend.
Well, I mean, hey, we don't know what conclusion that they came to as a couple and as a throuple, actually, what's going on there. So, I mean, hey, different strokes, right?
I guess. Go Stanley.
It's all out there.
It's all, he's just living his life.
That's right.
And it pretty quickly starts to fall apart. Pam holds this conference room meeting to talk about resolutions. And she says, you know, most resolutions are abandoned early. It's okay to struggle. You know, Pam says, I had a little bit of caffeine this morning. Kevin says he hasn't had any vegetables yet. But Michael interjects, and it's clear that Michael's actually talking about Holly's ultimatum, because we have learned that the ultimatum never really took place, did it?
No, there is a scene where after Michael's exuberant display of happiness from the happy box with Aaron, that when he goes and kind of tries to chat with Holly a little bit more, because he's just so thrilled and he just, you know, wants to spend a little more time with her. He goes back into the annex and they're chatting. She ends up taking a phone call and AJ's on the phone. And she starts speaking with him like nothing has changed. I mean, she's even asking him to save a specific movie for her, so when they get back together, they can watch it. And Michael overhears this conversation, and it occurs to him, he's like, you know, she's not wearing a ring, but it doesn't seem like they are broken up at all. Yeah. And so Michael's feeling really hurt by this. He's feeling really... He's taking it super personally, and he is it's kind of ruined his day, and he's feeling attacked, and he starts lashing out during this conference room meeting where he is displaying his frustration about people not keeping their resolutions. And it starts off with, you know, Kevin eating vegetables.
Put it in your mouth and just eat it.
God, I hate it.
I don't care whether you hate it. You said
Michael,
you'd do it.
All right. Michael.
Eat it. Eat it!
You're killing him, Michael.
All right.
Shh. I ate some fluffy part. Can I be done?
It is not about Kevin and the vegetables, like you said. It is about Holly keeping her word about having an ultimatum.
What is wrong with you people? Can't you stick to anything?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he goes off about why can't you people just do what you say you're going to do? And it is extremely transparent to Holly what's happening. In fact, she gets up and leaves the meeting as Kevin's being force-fed broccoli.
Oh, I do love that scene, though.
It's so upsetting.
He starts eating it from the big chunky stem first because he's never seen broccoli. I love the whole comedy, the physical comedy of this, even though the emotional undercurrent of this scene is really very intense and very dramatic. The comedy on top of it is just so good. Oh, Kevin eating that broccoli is just the worst.
Eat it.
You don't have to do that, Kevin.
I don't know. I'm glad this is happening. Thank you, Michael.
Why are you eating stem first?
This is a new food for me. How else should I eat it?
The other way.
This is such a good Kevin episode. It really is.
Overall, I really do enjoy this episode. I like how there's so much drama going on and intense feelings and emotions and expectations and disappointments. But then there's all of this stuff with the Pam resolution board that it cuts through all that comedy. Like we say, The Office often balances its episodes so well. And having Pam trying to deal with everyone's ridiculous demands or judgments on top of Michael kind of going through this this crisis with Holly, it's done really well and it keeps the episode moving wonderfully.
We have Michael reusing this tactic of talking to a group of people, but really just talking to Holly. So he calls a meeting in with Creed and Kevin, because in that conference room, he also gets on to Creed about, like, about doing a cartwheel. It's like, just go do it. You know, you're going to die not having accomplished it. He's really hard on Creed.
Creed, you say you want to do a cartwheel? Nothing's stopping you. Come on, old man, do a cartwheel.
Well, I can't. I don't know how.
You're just going to somersault around for the rest of your life. And you know what's going to be on your tombstone? Loser.
My tombstone's already made, thank you.
Just do a cartwheel.
And then after Holly leaves the conference room upset, Michael kind of tries to go over and talk to her, and she refuses to talk to him.
I just want to talk about what happened in there.
Oh, no, Michael, I don't want to talk about it with you. I'm fine. I don't want to talk about it.
And that's when I think that he tries to find an alternate method to get through to Holly. So he ends up calling this meeting in his office with Kevin and Creed.
And in that meeting, he is very heartfelt in his apology. You know, he says that he made their resolutions about him and that he cares about them so much he crossed a line. Creed isn't ready to be friends again yet. He won't shake his hand. But Kevin hugs him. And then again, we just see Holly kind of leaving without saying anything. I mean, she sees what's going on here and isn't ready to engage with it.
Yeah, the way Michael did this, it really stood out to me on now, like as we're watching for the show, I was paying much more attention to the scene than I think I ever have before. And him inviting Holly in under the pretenses that, oh, we need an HR rep for me to apologize for how poorly I acted in a conference room meeting. We're seeing some substantial growth from Michael here. He through his tantrum, as he normally does, and we have seen from Michael before, but he is, in doing this kind of like side apology to Holly, he's becoming so much less selfish and less self-involved.
Things got a little bit intense in the conference room.
You think?
And I wanted to apologize. These resolutions should be about you, and I made it about me, and it was none of my beeswax.
You were super mean.
It was insensitive, and I'm sorry. I really wanted you to follow through on your resolutions. The cartwheel, the veggies, I care about you very much. And you loom so large in my heart that I crossed the line.
I think that that shows some intense growth here. And I think that growth stems from his deep care for Holly and seeing that like something he did hurt her, that he doesn't want to be the source of that anymore. And he's seeing for kind of maybe the first time, or at least the deepest that he's felt it, that like someone else's happiness is so much more important than his own. And that's what he was so focused on the beginning of this episode. He made the happy sad boxes, right? Like he was so focused on his own happiness and joy over her not coming in engaged that he kind of forgot like how she might feel. And I think that he also forgot, like, that even though he would be so happy that she isn't engaged, if she did break things off with AJ, she would probably be pretty sad from coming out of a relationship. And, like, either way, it was like, you know, someone was going to be sad. And because of the way Michael feels about Holly, he's finally putting her first and he's putting someone else before himself. And I think that this is a really, we talk about the turning points for Michael's character. And I think that this is one of the biggest ones.
I think you're right. And I think that Michael, even though Holly leaves these two interactions without saying anything, that kind of says everything about where she is. And when she says, I don't want to talk about this with you, I mean, she is communicating to him that this isn't the time for this. And I think you're right. I think Michael just had this assumption that she would just come, you know, walking off the holiday break with a broken relationship. They were living together, a serious relationship, and just jump back into something with him. I mean, clearly that is short-sighted, and I think he sees it pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. And I just love that he finds a way to communicate with Holly even when he couldn't. And I think that that is that's a really important thing that he's showing her, that like he's going to apologize somehow even if she didn't want to talk to him. And I yeah. really like that.
And he apologizes to two of his employees at the same time that he needed to apologize to. Pretty good manager move.
It's a win-win-win.
It is. Yes.
So as we talk about like the great way that this episode is so balanced, well, actually, let's close out Holly, and then we can find out what is going on with the resolutions. Yeah. So after this apology at the end of the episode, we have the scene with Holly on the phone, and she is talking to AJ. And she kind of decides to take a break. She's slowing things down with AJ after what happened today. And she's stepping back. And this is a really big deal. I mean, she just had a phone call earlier in the day about like saving a movie for me. And now she's calling him up and being like, we need to take a break.
I just think we need to cool things down for a while. Yeah, a break. At least until I get back to Nashua. Yeah, I'm sure.
This is big. It's really big. And I'm happy to see this turn for Holly because, I mean, we all want Holly and Michael to get together. But it kind of does seem pretty sudden.
It does. I mean, she even ends the previous phone conversation with, I love you. And like, things are seeming to be okay. But then we have that talking head of hers that, you know, she says, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. And she like starts repeating it, and she comments that, you know, sometimes when you repeat things, they begin to sound weird. So I think that's what this episode is trying to like, that's the episode trying to give us the process Holly's going through.
Yeah.
But it does feel fast. Even if Michael has acted completely out of his normal character and the way that he handles this by these apologies and being heartfelt about it and wanting to be friends, it does feel a little bit speedy, but I'm willing to forgive it because I think it ends up in a place that we're all rooting for.
Yeah, because I think about it, the whole, like, the closer with the we'll be fine, the talking head with Holly. She even mentions it earlier in the episode where she keeps insisting, oh, we're going to be fine. And maybe even the whole idea of her contemplating giving him an ultimatum was something that now is like playing out in the back of her mind. And it has been for, you know, the good part of the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, maybe so. It's complicated. You know, people in relationships are complicated. And no doubt it is on Holly's mind, the mirroring of what happened with Michael, right? She's now bounced between these two cities a couple of times. And, you know, when she has moved, things have changed. And we know from her letter that Michael steals that she's had feelings for him then. So I think she's been, even though she hasn't been in the episodes because she's been in Nashua, I would imagine that Michael's been on the back of Holly's mind the whole time, or at least a lot of the time. I mean, definitely still into her relationship with AJ.
I like to think that's true.
Yeah.
So to balance out this part of the episode, especially with like all of these hard, heavy emotions, we have a wonderful little group outing based on the resolutions of Dwight, Andy, and Daryl. I love this little trio. I love them going out together. And Daryl, who's trying to hide his read more resolution, that he convinces the other two guys to go out with him to the bookstore to meet some hotties.
You know what you guys should do? Go to the bookstore at lunch. There's tons of cuties and it's easy to talk to them. Hey, what book is that? Cool, let's hang out tonight. Sex already? Whoa.
The bookstore?
Is that easy?
I'll come with you and show you how it's done.
Okay, I'll drive.
My resolution is to read more. And if someone else is driving me to the bookstore, I can eat my PB&J in the car. 2011 is coming up all Daryl.
When they get there, Daryl says he's going to take the hottie behind the counter, who's an older lady who works there. But Andy and Dwight go upstairs. They're bad at meeting women. Only one woman walks by, and they basically pretend that they work there. Let us know if you need any help. Nothing happens for them. But Daryl is going to buy an e-reader. He's initially put off by the idea because he works for a paper company, but then learns how many books he could carry around and is very excited about that. Quite a few bleeps in this episode, by the way, including this one at Daryl at the counter.
Heard those machines hold like 10 books at once.
Actually, it's 10,000.
Holy shit. What? Let me see it. So light. Like a croissant.
And Daryl buys it, but doesn't want anybody to know. In fact, he tells Andy and Dwight that it's old lady porn. So he doesn't want to share it.
So, yeah, they head out from the bookstore, and on the way back, they are, what are they looking for? They're looking for more ways to meet women on their way back when they were like out on this lunch break. And they drive past a strip club. Dwight expresses wanting to go to the strip club. Daryl advises against it.
I'm telling you, don't do it. I got nothing against strip clubs, but I do have something against them at noon on a Monday. The day shift at a strip club, you can't unsee that.
And so instead, they see that there's a roller rink kind of across the street. And so they go there to get their skate on. And the boys kind of have a little happy afternoon doing some skating. And Daryl slips away and does some secret reading. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a cool bromance afternoon. I love it.
Well, Dwight also slips away and skates into the strip club and then comes back. Yeah, in a way, they all kind of meet their resolutions. Daryl's done some reading. Andy is more, he says he's more comfortable with himself.
Wow, did you meet someone?
Yeah, I did, actually. His name is Andy, and he roller skates like a Greek god. And you know what? I kind of like hanging out with him.
Right on, son.
Dwight, assumedly, met some women. Thankfully, the cameras don't follow him in there. So we don't really know what happened.
I mean, he did meet them. I mean, right? Like, you know, hello.
Yeah.
How are you?
I mean, I don't know.
How are you, day stripper? That's an REM song, right?
Is it?
Yes. So the three of them kind of, I like how they close out where they're the only ones in the skating rink. And the DJ plays some Dave Matthews. They turn on the strobe light. It's pretty cute.
Yeah, they have a dance together for the camera, which is a lot of fun. Yeah, they sort of have this nice connection. I really like this trio, and I like it in particular for Daryl after sort of the rough episode he had last time with his daughter. And so I think it's nice to see Daryl kind of having a good one.
So that's not really the end to the resolutions. Like, you know, we see these three kind of accomplishing theirs out in the world, but as we are back in the office, as we saw the conference room meeting going so horribly, there is still some back and forth in front of the resolution board about who is accomplishing what. There ends up becoming some arguments. Creed is very upset that Aaron does a cartwheel before he does, and we have another like bleeping moment where he swears at Aaron.
One, two, three. I did it. I did a cartwheel.
You. God.
Okay. God. That's it.
Everyone is just getting at each other's throats. This is where Kevin vandalizes the board and for Ryan's fart project. So it's the typical office. Like, everyone is acting out at this point, and Pam just loses it.
Mm-hmm. She like takes it to the trash and folds it up, and she's like, lesson learned. I won't do that again.
I feel really bad for Pam, but I love the comedy of the office when they all like pile on to something like this.
Yeah. So that's kind of where we leave Pam. A little bit defeated, I think, but she'll bounce back.
Yep. And Michael has turned a bit of a new leaf in his new selfless attitude. And at the very, very end of the episode, we see him taking a moment and trying to help Creed with his cartwheel. And he's like, I'm going to stay as late as it takes. We're going to do this together, buddy.
Yeah, it seems to be after work. You know, Michael's tie is loose. It's kind of dark out the window. We don't see anybody else. Michael has, I guess, printed off directions on how to teach somebody how to do a cartwheel. So like, you know, look where you're going to put your hands. And then Creed does it. And it's like when a three-year-old does a cartwheel, right? It's just like, it just sort of flops over. But in his mind, he nailed it. He did the perfect cartwheel.
I did it.
You did?
The perfect cartwheel.
Okay, good.
No rush. That's all I had to do all year.
Way to go, Creed.
Oh, we get so much good Creed in the conference room, and then this whole closer. It's so funny.
It is good. It's really good. And I'm so proud of him. I mean, who really meets and fulfills the New Year's resolutions on January 3rd? Well, you know, four people in the office did.
That's true. Check, check,
pretty
check.
Good. In a way, Pam was extremely successful. She just never know.
So I think that brings us to the end of the episode. We covered it all. We have now Holly is on a break. Michael does not know this yet, but Michael has, you know, resigned himself to be a little bit more selfless, and he does not want to make Holly cry again, which is something that he reveals in a confessional at the end of the episode, that that really affected him and it completely changed his attitude about him waiting for Holly, that, like, you know, whatever she chooses, I think that Michael just doesn't want to put her in a position like that again and be the source of her misery. And I think that's really big. We have Daryl reading. We have Andy kind of finding himself and a little bit more comfortable. So it looks like it's going to be a good year for our crew.
I think so.
So thank you for listening, and be sure to go and follow us over at tall_beats, or you can find us individually at ISMH and at Tiff Arment. You can subscribe to become a member of The Incomparable and get fun goodies at the end of the year and access to our members-only bonus feed, and you can join us in our conference room, the members-only Slack. So we will be back next week talking about episode 14, The Seminar. I completely forgot what this one's about. Oh, Andy's sales. That's what it's about.
That's right.
About,
well, if Andy you pay $49.99 and spend some time with us, you'll learn.
Oh, that's our new price. I like that. I like it.
Yeah. No, this
get those
this
sales in.
This podcast is free.
It is free. You're welcome.
Just fine. Just fine. Just fine. Just fine.